And we're supposed to start with verse 26, but we're going to backpedal just a little bit. Should have a relatively short Sunday school lesson this morning. All we're going to do is mostly just finish up chapter 20 and one verse in chapter 22 or 21. Sorry about that. I'm missing a whole chapter here. Anyway, you remember last week, Judah went to battle with a bunch of bad guys. They were coming to fight against Judah, and the Lord told him, says, you set yourself in array, you get out there like you're going to battle, but don't worry, the battle's mine. And anyway, they went out to battle, and they went, you know, like they were getting ready to fight. And all of a sudden, the Lord dealt with them. And first of all, they the bad guys, they turned on each other. And they turned on each other to the point where not one survived. And then the people of Judah, we'll start in verse 24. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. So every last one of them, all those that came up against Judah. Now, in this day and time, we have people that come up against us, not necessarily to kill us. You know, that's a possibility. You never know anymore. But they come up against us to ridicule us or try to call us names or things, you know, and if we proclaim what God's Word says. And anyway, this is their end too. None escaped. Those out there that fight against the Lord's people, unless the Lord has called them to be one of His children eventually. You remember the Apostle Paul. That's what he was doing. He was going around gathering people up and sending them to the magistrates and having people possibly even put to death. And what happened to him? The Lord dealt with him. He saved him on the way to Damascus and to do more harm. And he used him. So we don't know these people that fight against us, those that we don't know what God's purpose is in all that. But if they're His, they're going to do His will in His time. And if they're not His, then they're going to pay the consequences and none will escape. In verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Now, I mentioned this last week. I'm going to mention again. When you're going out to battle, do you normally carry your riches with you and your jewels and your precious things? No. God put it in their hearts, these people that He was going to destroy, to carry these things with them so the children of God would have a great spoil. He was going to enrich Judah at their expense because they were going to go up against God's people. Now, you remember earlier on in the chapter that they were bumfuzzled. They didn't know what to do. We don't know what to do against this great multitude. We don't have any power against them. You remember all their things, all their things where they had soldiers and all that was up towards Israel. the kingdom of Israel, not the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel is both of them combined. Keep remembering that. I don't think the Lord was in the separation of them, because many times throughout the time when they're separated, he calls them Israel, meaning the combined nation of Israel, the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. But anyway, they went, and it took them 3 days in gathering of the spoil, just picking stuff up. I mean, and this is, you know, they didn't have to fight a bit. They didn't have to do anything except stand and watch God deliver on his promise to them. Now, God has made promises to us, as we've said before. And sometimes you just sit there and you say, well, I wonder how God's going to work this out. And it's amazing how he does many times. Many times he works it out to where what we want doesn't happen. We need to understand when we pray, we need to pray that his will would be done, not ours. Anyway, none of them escaped. In verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat came and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them, okay, well, I already did that, didn't I? In verse 26, this is the start of today's lesson. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beracha, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Beracha unto this day. Now, what I understand, that means the Valley of Blessing, meaning they blessed the Lord. I believe it more so means that the Lord blessed them in this valley. Now, Beracha is a man's name, and it does not mean blessing. So I'm not sure exactly how it got to be this way, but it's the Valley of Beracha, and I don't know whether it is to this day or not, but sometimes when we're despondent over things that we have no control of, which is everything, and the Lord comes and he deals with us. He helps us. He lifts us up. We're in the valley, so to speak. And he helps us up. We're in the Valley of Beracha. We're in the Valley of Blessing. He'll always pick us up. Verse 27. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Now, here they are going back to Jerusalem. They've just been in this great big battle. Well, no. They've been there to watch the battle. And they were joyful because the Lord had made them victorious over their enemies, and they didn't have to hit a lick. Many times we try to take things on that aren't ours to take on. We need to turn it over to the Lord. And it seems like nowadays, especially, we all wonder, you know, well, what do I need to do about this? And sometimes it's just you pray to the Lord about it. We have children that don't know the Lord. And we hold them up before the Lord, because there's nothing else we can do. We can live a Christian life before them. We can rejoice and be happy in the Lord so that they can see that there's joy in knowing the Lord. But it's up to him. It's up to him. We need to understand that. But they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat's in the forefront of them, just where kings should be, out in front. And remember, we go all the way back to David on this, where David, the people talked him into not going out and leading them in battle. He said, no, you stay back here in the camp and we'll go fight. king's supposed to lead. King's supposed to lead. And in this case, Jehoshaphat is leading and rejoicing and praising God's name for the great victory that he gave. And also all this spoil that we were just talking about. You know, they were enriched beyond measure. Can you imagine? I mean, in 3 days, I could believe I could pick up a lot of gold and jewels and stuff. I don't know how much, but I'd say a goodly sum. And here was all the people, all the men that went out to battle. Every one of them, and it took them 3 days to gather the spoil. So it was a gob. And they're coming back home. They're rejoicing. And happy, and the king is leading them. In verse 28, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. Where's the first place they went? To the house of the Lord. Amen. Shouldn't we do that? We have people that won't come to God's house. We have some that can't, but we also have people that won't. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. I know there was a time in my life after I got out of the hospital, and I was doing pretty bad yet for a while, and I couldn't come. But then it got to the point where I just didn't come. It gets to be a habit. We need to make it a habit to be in God's house. Because, hey, this is where we worship God. This is where we come to hear his word proclaimed. Now, I'm not saying you don't study at home. You need to study at home, yeah. But here's where you come to worship the Lord. The Bible says, to him be glory in the church. This is where we need to be. But this is where they went. They came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets. They were happy. They were joyful. They had a great victory. Look at us. We ought to be happy. We ought to be joyful. We have a great victory. We have a victory over Satan. We have a victory over death. We have a victory over everything. You know what we had to do for it? Nothing. It was done by our Lord and Savior. Just as in this case here. And we should be in the house of the Lord. Anyway, verse 29, and the fear of God was in all the kingdoms and those countries where they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Now, you'll notice that there's not much of anybody afraid of the United States anymore. You've got these little countries out in East Outer Slobovia, where you want to. Whatever you want to call them, and they stand up to us because there's no fear. Because I believe in most situations, the Lord's not going to fight for the United States anymore unless we turn around. Because I mean, we've done everything we can to eliminate God. We're taking him out of our schools. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't particularly think that that's all bad. About the Bible being out of school is the last thing I want would be for some lost teacher to be trying to teach one of my children out of the Bible. That's another reason we need to be in God's house. We don't send our kids, we take them with us. And if they don't like it, tough. But these kingdoms, people round about, they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. And they were afraid. They were afraid to the point where Israel had peace. You wonder sometimes, you know, you have peace through strength. And I think it was Ronald Reagan mentioned that. I could be wrong. But anyway, in many instances, we've had strong presidents. And if we had a strong military, and if we were, I won't say serving the Lord, because I don't think the country served the Lord in a long time, but at least abiding mostly by what the Lord says, then he's going to be with us. Now, not so much anymore. So we'll have to wait and see if the Lord can turn us around. Whether he will or not, I don't know. I mean, how far do you let a country go till you say, that's it? I believe we're in the last days. It's going to be soon that the Lord returns. He's going to take his children home, and then there's going to come a time when people are going to understand that God is God. They won't take him as their God. Just a God, more or less, I believe. But anyway, verse 30. So the realm of Jerusalem was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. The realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. I misspoke there. It's a good thing I have excellent memory, and I could remember that I said that wrong. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. I should have realized that was not right when I read his realm. Again, you know, God gave him rest. God gave him rest. That's where our peace is. That's where we can rest and have our joy and not worry about things is when we're with the Lord. And, okay, we can't be directly with the Lord. This is as close as it gets in one of the Lord's houses. And I believe that every house of one of God's children should be considered to be Lord's house. We are given things to take care of. It's not ours. I have a car. If I don't use it to God's glory, it's just a car. We have a house, Connie and I. And it's so far, we've been able to use it the way my mom wanted it to be used. My dad never allowed it. But we've had preachers come and stay with us. We've had brothers and sisters in Christ come and stay with us there in that house. And I'm sure Mom's happy about that, because it's finally getting to use the house the way she wanted it used. All right, verse 31, and Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And we're starting to wrap things up here, it seems like. And he's telling, again, all this was spoken of earlier on, how long he reigned, his mother's name, and who she was the daughter of. And again, he walked in the ways of Asa, his father. Now, if I walked in the ways of my father, my physical father, I would be lost without the intervention of God, without his Holy Spirit working in me. We need to walk in the ways of our Heavenly Father. Now, we also need to be careful not to give anybody reason to say, well, you know, I don't want to be like him. He says he loves the Lord and everything like that, and he won't even be in God's house. And he, you know, some of the things that transpire. And in this day and time, there is so much to pull people away from God's house. Now, you think about it. Now, they never had football back in these days. Now we got football. People want to stay home from church to watch football. And it makes my skin crawl. I don't even want to watch football anytime. When they started kneeling during the national anthem, that was it. I didn't watch much before then. But after that, I don't know. I don't want it on my television. Anyway, the last part there, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That should be our desire, to do the things that are right in the sight of the Lord, doing the things that please Him, not to please ourselves. There's nothing wrong with being happy and joyful or stuff like that, but the most happy and joyful you're going to be is when you're serving God. Verse 33, howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. So there were still some things that hadn't been done, that could have been done. Now, some say this was the high places where they used to make offering to God. I don't think so. I don't think that would have been mentioned here in a derogatory manner, because there not everybody was near Jerusalem, not everybody was near the temple. But this is talking about the high places where the people went to worship other gods. And although he did a lot of things, he let this transpire, let this keep on going. Verse 34, now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani. You remember Hanani was that seer that told Asa he was doing wrong, and Asa threw him in prison. So this Jehu was the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this did Jehoshaphat king of Judah join himself with Ahaziah king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Now, you remember here a while back, Jehoshaphat made a pact with Ahab, and chapter 19, verse 2, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him, and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldst thou help the ungodly, talking about Ahab, and love them that hate the Lord? Now they were blood brothers, so to speak. Both of them were of the nation of Israel, not the kingdom of Israel, but the nation of Israel. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. So you remember, I think, probably part of this great battle, the coming of it, not the actual battle, because the Lord took over and gave them the victory in that. But I think the stuff that they went through, the fear and the, oh me, oh my, that kind of thing, I think that was part of the wrath that was upon them. Anyway, so you would figure that Jehoshaphat would have learned his lesson. You know, he made a pact with Ahab. Apparently not, because now he joined himself to Ahaziah, Ahab's son, and he did very wickedly, so that nothing had changed there, and we're going to study more about Ahaziah. We're going to switch over to him, because after today, Jehoshaphat's going to be gone. He's going to be dead. But this is the way things are going back and forth. Now, this is probably not in chronological time with everything that has transpired, because Ahaziah only reigned for like 2 years or less. So this was probably right after he had got back home from his foray with Ahab. Anyway, verse 37, then Eliezer, the son of Dodava of Merisha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord has broken thy works, and the ships were broken, and they were not able to go to Tarshish. So all this work that he put in, all the things that he was doing, God destroyed it. So we need to be careful that what we set out to do is not destroyed because of some kind of a attachment we make with the world. Our attachment should be made in heaven. We need to look to the Lord and not to man to help us and to be with us. Anyway, in verse 21, now of chapter 21, sorry, chapter 21 and verse 1, now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, starting next week, we will start studying on Ahaziah, which is going to be, like I said, a short study. He was not king over Israel long. Possibly there might be somebody else involved next week. We'll have to wait and see how that works out. Anyway, I'll go ahead and turn the service over to Brother Greg, and you bring the message that the Lord has given.